Okay, so what we wanted to do now is just in the light of what we've been talking about this morning, church membership, the distinctives of Shore Prayers, was a very simple three-point summary of the things that are important to us. And those three things are grace, Jesus, and community. So grace is just important. We are saved by grace. We continue on in the Christian life by grace. We relate to one another in grace. Grace is the most beautiful thing, and our understanding of it, our experience of it, our entering into the depths of it must go on through our Christian lives. There's that lovely old way of describing grace. It's using the letters, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Ephesians 1 says we've been blessed with every blessing in the heavenly places. God pours out upon us every blessing. He forgives our sin. He gives us the righteousness of Christ. He adopts us as sons and daughters. He just goes on and on and leads into that amazing future that he keeps for us. As 1 Peter says, it is imperishable, unfading, undefiled, kept in heaven for you who are kept by God. It's all about grace. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, means that what earns God's riches is the expense of Christ. In other words, his self-offering, his righteous life, his death upon the cross, all of that is what pays for everything God gives us. You know, it's that question, can works get us to heaven? Can works get us to heaven? What do you think? Well, you know, there is a sense in which they do. But it's our works would never be enough. That's the problem. But the work of Christ is what gets us to heaven. See, it's on our behalf. Which means for us that everything God gives us is neither earned nor deserved. It's not earned, nor is it deserved. We could never pay enough to earn it. And we deserve the exact opposite. We deserve his wrath and eternal punishment because our sin really is that bad. So grace is neither earned or deserved ever. Not at the first moment of becoming a Christian, not at any moment through our whole lifelong Christian pilgrimage. It's that grace who marks who we are, it marks out how we are loved, and it marks out how we respond. How do we respond to grace? With humble, repentant gratitude. A life marked by humble, repentant gratitude. Grace means that we never need to cover up sin either. See, when we cover our sin, we think that that's stepping away from grace, somehow thinking that if we just hide this enough, we can somehow earn favor. Grace is saying, no, you really are that bad. You know, we muck up and we struggle to front up to the fact that we mucked up. The gospel of grace says, no, you really are that bad. You really could do that. You really could think that. But Jesus has paid the price. So understanding grace means we don't need to cover up our sin. God already acknowledges its reality and provides for it. Grace means that we know we are more sinful than we ever dared admit, and we are actually more loved than we ever dared to hope. So that dictates how we view ourselves. Dictates how we view ourselves. We really are that sinful and we really are that loved. dictates how we view each other. You're as broken as I am, I'm as broken as you are. You're as loved as I am, I'm as loved as you are. And so we function towards one another out of those realities. No need to pretend, no need to make up. It also dictates not only how we view ourselves and each other in the body of Christ, but how we view the world. That's why we don't need a judgmental us-them attitude. Because they're no more broken. I say that. People who don't know Jesus are no more broken than we are. We're all broken. We need grace. They need grace. So we're to constantly come back and grasp the reality of grace, and that protects us from the dangers of being both religious or irreligious, the legalist or the licentious person. Grace enables us to grow in our struggles, love each other even when it is difficult, and to develop a missional heart. It enables us to obey. Grace is not lawlessness. I think sometimes in a modern theological environment, when we talk about grace a lot, people then don't like hearing about the law of God or the requirements of God for holy living, as though somehow grace sets us free, even from the call to obedience and the standard of obedience. That grace actually brings us into that. Grace is what opens us up to a thankful life of obedience, and it continues to spell out the standard. Grace simply puts obeying God's law in its proper context as a right response. And grace is what enables us to respond, you see. We become what we are by grace, and we continue in that life by grace with the Lord's help. So grace is just crucial. We love grace. Number two, a bit shorter, just remembering that Jesus is central. It's by Jesus, you know, that we know who God is. He is the Word become flesh. He is the revelation of God to us. It is through Jesus that we really know who God is, the God that we were made to know. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. There's an exclusiveness about Jesus. There is no other way but by Him. He is the truth. The answers to life are found in Jesus by knowing Him. And He's the life. He satisfies us. He satisfies the inner longing, what we were made for, and He satisfies us eternally. Again, the motto that we chose for Sure Prayers was learning life with Jesus. And part of recognizing how our culture struggles with Christianity and the church, recognizing that our culture can be cynical, and sometimes rightly cynical, about a lot that is Christian. There is a sense that appears in which people might still find the person of Jesus a compelling figure. And so I think that's missionally helpful to keep Jesus central, and even to approach subjects, difficult subjects, through the teaching of Jesus and through the eyes of Jesus. So, we talked about the issue of hell. Looking at hell from Jesus' teaching on that is probably a very helpful way to go. Anyway, Jesus is number one. The last one is community. I'm going to read a scripture here. This is the third and last one. Let me read this lovely passage from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. This is often referred to. It's a fantastic little window into the life of the early church. And it gives us a lot of pointers, I think. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul. and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, just like we did just before. Praising God and having favour with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That's a wonderful picture of the church. You notice it's describing a community of people. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So to them, what the apostles taught was central. That's why for us, teaching the Bible is central, because the Bible is the apostles' teaching, you see. They devoted themselves to the fellowship, being together, having things in common, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All of these things they devoted themselves to and were central to their life. Here's the signs and wonders. Awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done. Note these little words. Through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And it goes on to describe they sold their possessions and shared with those who had need. There was a sense of serving one another, a generous, sacrificial spirit. There was hospitality. They opened their homes to one another and shared food together. It's a very rich picture of a vibrant community in which Christ is central. And there's an impact. You see in verse 47 it says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. There was something about this community that impacted the community around. So my simple point is that as we seek to grow a church here, we seek to have a sense of community, the presence of Christ, that mutual commitment to the things that matter, that serving and generous spirit towards each other. And I have to say, let me just say this, and over these 2 years as we've been working on planting this church and the people has brought as God has brought a people together, this is what I see. The Spirit of God at work in the lives of the people who are already part of this church, giving to one another, loving one another, caring for one another. It is a beautiful thing to see Christian community develop. And simply to say that that's what we want to see continue to develop. As the Lord brings, by his grace, as he adds to our number, that those people as they come are loved and served and become part of a loving and serving community. In the end, I think we live in a culture that's where hearts are crying out for connection, hearts are crying out for relationship and authenticity. Connect with real people, real things. And I think there's a sense in which the Christian church, instead of putting on a show and trying to perform, as it grows in Christ and as it grows in grace and as it just seeks to live out a genuine community life, being real with one another, being real with one another's faults and struggles, bearing one another's burdens, all of that is, by God's grace, offering to a needy world an authentic community to find Christ. That's a lovely thing, and that would be a lovely thing to see continue to develop. So there it is, those three things. Thanks for listening. Let's pray. Thanks for being with us through this day, Lord, and for enabling us to do all the things that we've done. And thank you for everybody here and everybody who's been here and the way that everybody has contributed to making today a great day together. We just offer up our church to you, Lord, that you would be pleased to be with us, among us, helping us to grow, molding us into the likeness of Christ, making us a real people, a people filled with grace, a people in love with Jesus, a people living out genuine community in a way that really does impact the lives of others. Help us as we continue to struggle with questions and seeking after truth. Let your word by your Spirit always be our light, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.